Mike.
Wait, whoa. Okay. First off, where Mike. The fuck you been?
Dude, and I have so much to tell you.
Wait, but you have that fucking container with you again. With that fucking foaming clear liquid. It's that fucking creatine shit. That's why you've been running to the bathroom every 5 minutes when you are here.
No. Well, this is the best way to start the day. It's a nice protein-creatine blend. But,
I don't think Tony would like that in a store. What the fuck is going on with you? Because I've had to cover and I'm sick of it.
Okay, so... Alright, you know how I've been, you know, juicing, doing some roids? Well, after watching some of the Olympics, you know how those Russians, they're getting banned and everything else. So I got the hookup on the internet for some Russian steroids.
Oh,
or
no, you did not.
Croatian or... I don't know, man, but I took them, and I've been fucking tripping balls for like 4 days, man. I don't think those were steroids.
Oh, God.
But, dude.
Is your name Phelps? Are you John Phelps instead of Michael Phelps, John Phelps?
I have to tell you, man. None of this is real. Like, none of this is real. The store isn't real. We're not... None of this is fucking real. There's alternate realities, and they're real. And the alternate realities, they're...
This is a counter. This is real. You hear me banging? It's a counter. It's a counter. This is a Blu-ray here. You see?
Yeah, but what you don't get is there's tons of alternate realities all going on at the exact same time, and some of them were just fucking losers sitting in our rooms talking to each other through Skype, and some of them were in this awesome ass store, and none of it's fucking real, man, and I had to come and warn you.
Warn me about what?
There's something really bad coming, man. There's gonna be a dude that comes into the store, okay? And he's gonna sell us this really crappy old VHS, but it has instructions on it. And when we watch it, we build a time machine. And we go back to the 80s.
Well, I want to go back to the 80s.
No, man, it's definitely not fucking bitching. It's an alternate reality 80s. And they're fucking trying to kill us now, man. They're going to kill us. They're fucking watching us.
So it'll be evil me and evil you versus good me and good you from now.
It's not good, man. It's not fucking good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're good now versus evil us from the 80s.
Well, no, it's not
like
us.
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Everyone's evil. Everyone is evil.
Yeah, but everyone's evil in the 80s versus positive us now.
Right.
Yes, so it's like Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Evil Bill and Ted versus good Bill and Ted. Evil Mike and John versus good Mike and John.
Wait. Maybe there's something there. All right, grab the tape. We're going to go in the back, and we're going to watch that.
Yes.
I wonder who that could be.
How's it going, Bill and Ted?
Ted, it's us again.
How's it going, Bill?
Not bad, Bill.
And you?
Bad.
We came to help you guys in your most unfortunate situation.
Yeah.
How? Come with us. We'll show you.
Okay.
Excuse us. Dude. I got a weird feeling here.
Why?
I don't know. How do we know these guys are really us?
Ted, we've been through this before. Now, if it wasn't for the previous intervention of our future selves, would we have even passed history? Or met the babes? Or had a most excellent adventure through time.
Okay. Ted, if you're really me, how many fingers am I about to hold up? 3.
Whoa! You're right!
Let's go, guys. We'll drive.
Ted, what? I have a feeling we're about to embark upon a most unprecedented expedition. Dude, what? I got a full-on robot chubby. Later, Evil Ted.
And welcome to VHS Life.
Oh, that was more subdued than I'm used to. I'm very surprised.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry. All right, welcome to VHS Life.
Still trying to deafen me. I get it.
Oh, man. So, Shit, man. Gene Wilder fucking died.
Yeah, we have a voicemail about that.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, that kind of brought me down. It really did. And as my work schedule, that's definitely why we were a little delayed. I mean, I fucking used to love watching his movies, man.
Do you enjoy watching his movies, drinking that creatine, protein, whatever the fuck it is?
Well, that's how I start the day. I don't usually watch much of anything while drinking that.
Starting the day is with coffee, not with that shit. Or Mountain Dew Kickstart with loads of caffeine. I concur. I approve.
I wake up and I take BCAAs to flood the system with it on an empty stomach, and then I immediately follow it with a lovely blend of protein and creatine to once again flood my empty system with it.
Well, now see, if you need protein, all you need is, you know, Michael J's special blend, and it's in my bowl.
I'm good.
Well, what does it taste like anyway? Like
Vanilla, honestly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like vanilla.
Yeah.
I can taste like vanilla, too. Just give me a bunch of vanilla extract.
Oh, shit. So, moving past Michael's filthiness.
Yes.
We hung up the Young Frankenstein poster in the store.
Yeah. Thanks for making me dig that out, by the way. Because you were nowhere to be seen. I fucking have no idea, you know.
I told you.
Me go into the back of the fucking store. I have to dig through. You have no idea what it's like in that back office. I swear. You don't realize.
No, I do. That's where I smoke my cigars. That's why the poster's a little yellow. Just don't tell Tony that.
Well, I'm sure he'll be in here soon enough and he'll see it, and then I'll tell him. I'll be like, yeah, number one, he hasn't been here. Number two, he smokes cigars in the back of the... Well, he does that too, so he probably won't be too pissed off about that. But the yellowing of the poster... The yellowing of the poster, he will be pissed off about. Because, you know...
Well, if somebody would have left it in the plastic... Exactly.
Well, you're the one that fucking threw it there and left it behind all those fucking boxes and shit like that. Craziness.
You knew I wouldn't do that. Don't even... Yeah. No.
Craziness. Well, when I start shooting Horlick again in the fall, I will not be here to be hanging up your posters so often and doing this and doing that. It's insane.
And that's acceptable.
Damn right. You're going to have to start picking up some of the slack there somewhere. I mean, cutting hours at the other job, maybe. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
I'll just work later.
Yeah. Well, you're going to do something, sir. It's not my responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so have you seen anything worth mentioning, Mike, worth getting into before we really start discussing our homework? Because we have two homework assignments to discuss this week. That's right, we doubled down, bitches.
Oh, well, I have... did we have two homework assignments? Wait, what did I watch?
You had one, and I.
Oh,
had
that's.
One.
Oh, right. Okay. I was gonna be like, I don't think we both had two because I don't remember two. I will say that starting the beginning of the week, because you know now with it being September 1st, actually. Father Knows Best is back on Antenna TV after a summer hiatus.
No, Jesus.
From noon to 1 p.m. every day. If you're in the Philadelphia area or in some other area that gets Antenna TV, I highly recommend that you view this program. It is brilliant. I've seen every episode. That's 238, I believe, because there was 6 seasons with 32 to 36 episodes a season. So, black and white, Robert Young, Father Knows Best, goodness, watch it.
So
that's what you think of that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, then. So I watched Sausage Party.
Ah. So did Paul Rudd play the sausage?
No, that's Seth Rogen.
So Seth Rogen played the sausage. Well, who played the bun?
I don't know. No.
There was a bun, right?
There is a bun, and surprisingly enough, Edward Norton does one of the main supporting voices.
Really?
Yeah.
Where has he been? Talk about not being around. Where the fuck has he been?
He was in Birdman.
Yeah, but that was over a year ago.
I haven't seen Birdman yet,
so I don't know.
I have no idea where the fuck he's disappeared to, but I've always enjoyed him.
No, I did too. Primal Fear is a prime example of, you know, he was really good in that. He was good in Spike Lee's 25th Hour.
Fight Club?
Don't forget Fight Club.
Fuck yeah, Fight Club.
Fight Club is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
I think the beginning of the downfall for him was The Incredible Hulk.
No.
Because it really came out how difficult he was to work with then.
But that was such a good movie. I don't think his work ethic translated to the screen. Like, you know, his negative side. If you're saying negative,
right. It was negative. I'm just saying that a lot of people, production-wise,
right,
through that really discovered how difficult he is to work with.
So you're saying the director and all thought that he was an asshole is what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, what the hell do they say about him? Like, what is their issue? Like, do they think that he's, like, just, like, you know, or you're only getting one take and that's it. I'm only here for 15 minutes and then I'm gone. We're moving to the next shot. If you don't like it, oh, well, fuck you. Is that what they did?
Basically, he basically rewrote his entire character.
Well, the movie came out better probably because he did that. So.
I'm not going to argue. I enjoy his portrayal a lot. I think he did a great job. I'm just saying that the people behind the scenes did not enjoy him and how difficult he was. Right. So I believe that is probably the beginning of the downfall for him.
So he's just not working with anymore.
Think about it. He was in that, and then Marvel replaced him with Mark Ruffalo. And then he did, Bourne Legacy.
Yes.
And then Birdman. And then Sausage Party. I mean, I'm sure there's been a couple others in between there, but that's all I can fucking think of off the top of my head right now.
Yeah, it's almost like I want him to come and work here. So then that way, if he starts being an asshole, I can just, you know, stand up to him and I'll be like, okay, when are you going to be in a major motion picture again?
That's remember right. Birdman? You weren't even the lead in Birdman, dickhead. Yeah.
Michael Keaton overshadowed your performance. How does that feel? Michael Keaton played a bird. What did you play? A piece of shit that came out of his bird rectum.
No, that he did not play a bird.
Michael Keaton played a fucking bird. Did you not see the wings fucking come out of his body? And he was like... Phew, phew, phew,
phew. It's a ripoff of Batman. He's Birdman.
Yeah, but he still had fucking... He could fly in that fucking suit. He jumped off of a building and he flew. I saw the trailer.
So did Batman.
No, Batman did not soar like a fucking bird. He soared like an eagle. I saw the trailer. He ran and he jumped off the building and he was flying as high as the sun.
Okay. Anyway. Sausage Party was alright. It had its funny moments, but overall it was not nearly as funny as I was expecting it to be. It's from the same people that did This Is the End, but This Is the End was actually funnier, in my opinion. So,
see, if Kevin Smith was involved, I think Sausage Party...
It would suck?
No, Sausage Party would have been a much, much, much better movie.
It would have sucked.
No, not at all.
It wouldn't have been all right. It would have sucked.
Not at all.
Tusk? Horrible fucking film. Horrible fucking film.
Oh, you know what? You know what? This just made me think. I'm bringing over... Joey T from Jacket Audio, and we are going to have a fucking Kevin Smith Battle Royale fucking thing. Me and Joe versus you, because we love Kevin Smith and you hate Kevin Smith. See, this is what we need. This is what
that
show needs.
I don't hate Kevin Smith. Yes, you do. I think he's peaked.
You think he... I disagree with you 100 million percent.
I think the last good film he did was Clerks 2.
No. Clerks 2...
I think Red State had potential, but it failed to fully achieve it.
I totally disagree with that statement. I
think Tusk was an absolute abomination. The only watchable thing about it is the performances.
Well, see, I disagree, and I'll tell you why. I loved Tusk because it was totally different from what Kevin Smith has ever done. So I think that it brought something entirely new to the table.
Because he normally takes firm, hard shits that you can really take a look at and dissect. Oh, you've had corn. And then suddenly squirts out some diarrhea. You're like, oh my god, look at it. It's so different. No, it's still shit.
I disagree.
It's no Chasing Amy.
Well, Chasing Amy is brilliant. You really can't get better than that. But see, Tusk is building. See, you don't like Tusk, but when you watch it with the rest of his Canadian trilogy, which encompasses Tusk, Yoga Hosers, which comes out later in the month, which stars his daughter, Johnny Depp's daughter, and Johnny Depp. And then you have his upcoming epic, Moose Jaws, which is Jaws, but a moose. And that features Jay and Silent Bob. And then that... Once you see it as a whole, I think you will better understand where he was going. So while you you appreciated Chasing
the only
Amy
one
because of the build.
Yoga Hosers. I've seen the trailer. Yes. It looks bad.
Yes.
I've advised Tony only to get 2 copies of it for the store.
No. Well, I will override that since I know your order codes, and I'll go on there and I'm going to order 10 copies of that, just like when Tusk was coming out, I overrode and I got 50 copies of that. Now, there's there's still 40 or 45 sitting in the back somewhere that I buried. But yeah, I did it. And I'm going to do it again.
Moose Jaws
yeah.
sounds... If it's done tongue-in-cheek enough, that could be entertaining. But Tusk was horrible.
I'm trying to
seriously. Tusk was so fucking bad that I haven't watched Holidays because Kevin Smith directed part of it, and I have heard from multiple sources the worst short of Holidays is Kevin Smith's.
I'm gonna tend to disagree with that. I think so.
Have you even seen it?
Nope.
Okay then.
I've seen Kevin Smith.
You're just a Kevin Smith apologist.
No, it's you know how like on money it says In God We Trust? Well, see, I would print new money and I would put in Kevin Smith I Trust.
So anyway,
better than Bruce Campbell, hands down. Kevin Smith can make a movie. Bruce Campbell cannot. There we go.
Okay. I want to hear from our listeners out there, is Tusk better than My Name is Bruce?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, God, no.
150%. 150 million percent, yes.
All right, so let's move on to the homework because this is something that will not get settled right here, right now. So let me go first.
Oh, here we go. Mm-hmm.
Mike assigned me Halloween 3,
yes.
Season of the Witch.
Did you get that primarily, jingle in your head? Is it still stuck in there or what?
No, it's not stuck in there.
Oh. Damn.
Primarily because I admitted to Mike that I've never actually sat down and watched the entire film.
Which is a shame because when I was a kid and I would, when I first saw it, and up until the subsequent years, until I turned like 20, I would call that the No Michael Myers film. That's how it was known.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd seen bits and pieces of this. I thought, you know, I'd probably seen 3/4 of this over the span of my lifetime just on TV and shit.
Yes.
As it turns out, I've maybe seen 10% of this. I'd seen way less of this film than I fucking thought I had.
Mm-hmm.
And struggling where to start here. Okay, so stars Tom Atkins. It has a really strong Invasion of the Body Snatchers kind of vibe going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna start with the positive. All right.
There's negative? Holy shit.
The fact that they tried to do something new, to take it into this anthology film, where it's not just an anthology film, but an anthology film series.
Right.
Brilliant idea. I absolutely love that idea. I love that the fact that they wanted to be able to do a new Halloween film mm-hmm. every year for Halloween, and it could be about anything around Halloween, and those films could have their subsequent sequels. Brilliant idea. Fucking brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Love that. Love that idea. I love their approach. I love the concept. Okay? All great. Well, the concept behind the franchise building thing. So they bring in a world famous sci-fi writer. Cool. John Carpenter rewrites it. Awesome. The writer director rewrote it. What the fuck's his name again?
Who the hell
did I forgot it?
Well, wait, Nigel Neal did do it, and then it was Tommy Lee Wallace, I think.
Tommy Lee Wallace,
yes. Yeah. He also directed it, yes.
Yeah. I can't say the writing's bad, but it's not good. I mean, the concept of witches meets computer age, good concept, like it. The fact that they fucking stole a stone from Stonehenge and are using particles of it and computer chips to kill the children of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck is stupid.
I disagree entirely.
Now, if they would have just gone, if they would have lost Stonehenge, okay, so they're using witchcraft on these masks, and then they're going to use our new technology against us to mass kill people.
Right.
Okay, I can go with that. That's a little less ridiculous than, you know, sprinkling bits of fucking Stonehenge. But it's not one of the best in the series, Mike.
Well, I'm not.
Come on, man. In the beginning, when the old guy's getting strangled and he pulls the block out and the car rolls down and it's going
great.
Like fucking 5 miles an hour and it kills a robot, really?
That was great. You know what? You know what that made me think of? Like when I watch it now. Anton Yelchin getting crushed. Is it too soon to say that?
That's too soon, man.
Oh, that's a shame.
It was like fucking 2 episodes ago, well, probably 3 or 4, that we were talking about fucking Green Room, you dick.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. I apologize. Okay. No, see, I would have agreed with you. Like up until 20-year-old Michael J. would have agreed with you that it is really bad. But when
I'm not saying it's really bad. Well, I'm not saying that. It's a cheesy movie that would have been forgotten from the 80s
yeah.
if it didn't have Halloween on it.
Right. You realize...
And it's perfectly watchable.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably watch it again. I'm not saying this is going to be any huge rotation for me, but I will watch it again just to see if there's more that I missed and this and that. I mean, honestly, I was kind of falling asleep after it because I was so entertained. Well, it kept my cat entertained. My cat was sitting there staring at the TV.
Well, I can at least tell you that the commentaries are at least interesting.
Are they?
Yes, I would highly recommend listening to those.
Is Carpenter on it?
No, Carpenter is not on it.
Fuck it.
Yeah. Did you listen to the commentary on the 35th anniversary Halloween disc with him and Jamie Lee Curtis?
I haven't yet, no.
That's an entertaining commentary. As well as Halloween 2 has a commentary with, I believe it's Rick Rosenthal and Leo Rossi, who played Bud, the paramedic. That's an intriguing commentary. I would listen to that as well. What do you call it? But I think I've grown, my appreciation for it has grown more so over the years. Plus, you're going to get fired because that is Tony's favorite film.
Like I said, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's not up there in the series.
You better thank your lucky stars he does not listen to this show, because if he did, you would be fired.
All right, well, if you had to rank it amongst Halloween, the entire franchise...
Oh, God, I've never done that before.
Where would you put it? Or jeez, what would you put below it?
I don't...
Let's make it simpler.
I mean, well, let's put it this way. I love Donald, but 5 would have to go below it. Resurrection would have to go below it. H2O would have to go below it.
Probably you can stop right there. I agree with that. that would be mine.
Yeah. I mean, they would definitely have to go below it. And I mean, as much as I love Donald, yes. But 5 is probably the one that I've watched. Actually, I'll tell you this. In order of the ones that I've watched, those 3 are the ones that I've watched the least.
Yeah, those are my least favorite, too. I mean, now having seen the complete franchise, I put it above those ones.
Yeah. Well, at least you do that. At least you give it that, so.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, it's not horrible. It's just not, you know, great.
Yes.
However, talking about great, Mike, why don't you tell us about your homework?
Do we have to say that it's great? Really?
I think it's great. That's why I assigned it to you.
I was watching it, and I don't know.
What'd you watch?
I watched John Dies at the End, and it stars somebody and somebody. And I saw
Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti in there, yeah. I was like, wow. I'm like, this guy's like digging at the bottom of the barrel for roles if he's doing this thing. He went from Pig Vomit in Private Parts to this. Wow.
Well, he did this because this was at the time when he was in heavy talks with Don Coscarelli to be in Bubba Hotep 2.
Oh.
Where he was going to be the Colonel.
Oh, I thought they were going... Oh, he was going to be Colonel Sanders?
Not Colonel Sanders, you fucking idiot. The manager of Elvis.
Oh, Colonel Parker?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant... he would work as Colonel Sanders, just like dye his fucking beard white and fucking put a hat on him. He could fucking do it. He could pull it off. That'd be great. Fucking Bubba Hotep 2. Elvis. Fucking... What was the other one? The Black JFK and Colonel Sanders together to save the world.
No, part 2 was actually going to be a prequel.
Oh.
Back when he was making a movie and there were going to be vampires. It was supposed to be Baba Nosferatu.
Oh. Well, anyway, I still think that Baba Hotep and Phantasm are better films than this. This seemed to me like a jumbled mess, and I spent a great majority of the time trying to understand what the fuck was going on. And I used fuck, just like John would use fuck, but I did it too. Because I just want to know what was going on. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Like, John died, but it wasn't at the end.
Yeah, it's more towards the middle.
that makes no sense. Then why call it John Dies at the End? Why not call it John Dies at the Middle? John Dies in the Middle. Bullshit that nobody will understand ensues. And then he's there at the end. For like, I still don't get it. Then you got Clancy Brown, who I think is a great character actor. What the fuck is he doing there?
He's a mystic that knows the truth about reality.
It's like he's wasted.
Oh, like, dude.
The whole movie just seemed wasted to me. Like, it ended, and I'm just like, really?
No, it's fucking like, hysterical,
seriously?
Man.
I didn't laugh.
What is wrong with you?
And you know me, I'm just as humorous as the next person. And I did not laugh.
At all.
Not at all.
Oh my god, dude, it's fucking hysterical. I mean, come on, when they're seeing different versions of the same girl, and it's just like, well, John jerks off a lot, and he has pretty bad eyesight because of that. But I don't, so why are we seeing different versions of him? I mean, come on, shit like that's just funny. Or, I want to shoot you so bad my dick's hard.
Yeah, I heard that. I did not laugh. I was like, But you know what? The whole time I'm sitting there and I'm watching it, and I'm like, I can imagine John sitting there watching this. Oh my god. Oh yeah. Keep going. Take that fucking soy sauce. Take the fucking soy sauce right in your fucking face. Yeah.
I do love that movie. In fact, I watched the movie, have purchased and read the book. The book is great. I have not picked up the sequel book yet.
Did you get the film on Blu-ray or no?
I actually don't own it yet. However, I will. I just haven't got around to that yet.
Wow. Have you shown it to the girlfriend yet?
Yeah, she actually greatly enjoys it as well. Because you're wrong.
Okay, she's on the soy sauce too. Wow.
There's nothing wrong with the sauce, my friend.
It's just, I think instead of doing that, Coscarelli should have focused his energy on a Bubba Hotep 2 or a Phantasm 5 a lot sooner. And then just trashed John Dies at the End because John was a big disappointment. Much like John Rhodes is in real life.
You say that, however, how many of our listeners, how many of our friends out there,
yes,
agree with me that it is fucking fantastic?
I think they need to revisit it and not take the sauce before they do.
So far, there's only been one of us that have assigned homework. That has been approved. Let's look at it that way.
You mean that's actually light?
Right.
Oh, yeah, because that's right. You like Darling, right? Yes.
Yeah, so that's a point to you, and neither one of us have scored a point since.
Right.
So, all right.
I don't know. Well, we have to like, see, there's got to be, like, a more impartial way that we could do this. Maybe we shouldn't pick the homework. Maybe we should have somebody else pick our homework.
I'm open up to that idea.
Have the girlfriend just pick a random movie for us to watch. She's not partial to anybody. She doesn't know me, really, so she could pick something really, like, I don't know, insane. And it doesn't have to be horror.
It doesn't have to be horror. John Dies at the End's not horror.
Well, we know. John Dies at the End is just a fucking, I don't know what the fuck that is. It's a mess, basically. That's what that is.
I mean, you could barely call Halloween 3 horror.
Well, yeah, I don't know what that is, really, but,
yeah.
I'm thinking,
All right, people, well, this is going to take a while.
Yeah.
So, we're going to take a break while Mike continues to think, and hopefully that thought will be done when we come back.
Thank you.
And now it's time for a press play video voicemail.
Hi guys, it's Earl again. And I was told today I just heard Gene Wilder died. And I just wanted to call and say something about it. I don't know who else to call. I could talk to my chat about it, but they just don't seem to understand. I mean, you guys are so great, and I just remember all the times renting his movies on VHS and enjoying them. Oh man, he truly will be missed. God, boys, I can't keep doing this.
All right, and we're back, and I was waiting for the end of the roar of the MGM lion, a.k.a. John burping, to bring it back. That was another synth song, as well as a press play voicemail. We have some weird fuckers calling. This guy really...
And these are the docile tones of Michael J.
That's right.
Welcome back.
It's a lot more soothing than your...
Fuck you, man. People like my voice.
See if you could do that. See if you could do that next time. That's the MGM lion in burp form. I just see your little fucking head with your... Oh, wait. This is an old picture of you on Skype, isn't it? As your...
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I see you... And you don't have the mane that you used to have, so you really wouldn't work well with the, you know.
No, I'm pretty much clean shaven now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Well, actually, yeah, I haven't shaved in a couple of days. I need to do that.
Like I said.
Fucking Russian steroids, anyway. Hey, okay, so we are here. We put it out there to our followers, yes. Our listeners, our friends on Facebook that would be discussing franchises. Now, I didn't really divulge what about them we'd be discussing because everyone likes a little bit of mystery. So, this is the part where we're going to discuss franchises, but not just that. Oh, fuck no, because everybody does that. We're going to discuss a little bit on how we think they should be continued.
Right.
All right, but before we get into that, our friends on Facebook have actually been kind enough to let us know what they enjoy. So, if you would allow me, Nightmare on Elm Street actually took the lead for franchises by one over Halloween.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I voted in that, did I? I don't think I did. But that's very disappointing. How anybody could think that Nightmare on Elm Street is better than Halloween. You people need your head examined. I'm sorry, but you do. Really?
Yeah, I actually agree with that.
Really?
Die Hard and Predator series tied. No, I agree with you that Halloween's superior.
Yeah. I mean, Die Hard's even better than Nightmare on Elm Street. What the fuck?
That last one was pretty bad.
I still haven't seen it because I'm afraid of the badness. That's why I don't watch it.
Evil Dead followed those.
Oh, Die Hard's better than Evil Dead, but continue.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, according to our friends on Facebook, it is.
Wow.
Even
yes.
Though they're wrong.
Yes.
The Bond series came in behind Evil Dead.
Oh. Yeah.
Followed by The Man with No Name.
Ah, you probably haven't seen any of those, have you, Rose King?
I've seen most all of them, I believe.
Really? I'm surprised. I haven't seen
which
any.
Which actually tied with Smokey and the Motherfucking Bandit, y'all. Can't get wrong with a little bit of Eastbound and Down.
Well, it's
and finally rounding it all out, that actually tied both The Man with No Name and Smokey and the Bandit, The Escape series.
Now, can we really call
I'm calling
Escape
it a fucking
series a franchise? Because it's really not. It's just Escape from New York and Escape from L.A. That doesn't count.
I'd call it. Fuck you. And then, sadly...
I'm surprised you don't have the Bruce Campbell series, you know, and just lump in all of his movies into a series.
And then, sadly,
they fucking created a million Facebook accounts just to fucking vote that up to the top.
There was some orphans that didn't get any votes. The Paranormal Activity series, the Saw series.
Thank God.
The Police Academy series. What? I'm surprised about that. No love for the Police Academy.
I love Police Academy.
And the Texas Chainsaw series.
That really didn't get any votes? Wow, I'm surprised.
No love.
Damn.
I know, I mean, I really should have tossed my voice in there because I think I would have voted for almost all of those, at least once.
Of course you would have.
Talking favorites, no, they probably wouldn't have got a vote for favorites. In all honesty, Evil Dead, obviously. Smokey and the Bandit, fucking love it. Mm-hmm. Predators, goddamn good. Escape, yeah, those would be mine.
So your ideal... Okay, so basically, if you had the option to have Ash on one ball and Bandit on the other ball, you would do it.
Fuck yeah.
You'd be like, yeah, that's right, you suck it. You get right to that creamy fucking center. You do it now. Take that fucking creatine blend all down, yep.
So...
creatine in your face, motherfuckers. That's what it looks like coming out.
So, Mike, why don't you pick a franchise? And I want you to tell me how you're going to continue it. Because you already told me you had one.
Well,
and it's kind of one that doesn't have a franchise.
It does not have yet. A franchise yet. But it... See, now there's rumors that they are making the sequel book to this into a film.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The book is called Dr. Sleep, and it's a sequel to The Shining. And okay. I've tried to read the book. I bought the book. I tried to read it. I think I got less than 100 pages into it, and I just had to stop. It's incredibly boring. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It's just, in my opinion, it's bad. I mean, it's real bad.
Have you ever read The Shining?
I have not, but I've seen the film multiple times.
Have you ever read any of Stephen King's books?
I have. And there is a book that he wrote in like 91 or 92, and I know I've said this before at some point. It's called Gerald's Game.
Okay.
I love that book. I thought that book was brilliant. Still waiting for an adaptation of that in some form.
I think Salem's Lot is probably my favorite of his. Okay. Just something about that book I love.
Better than the film version?
Which film?
The original 79 film, which is coming to Blu-ray in a few weeks from Warner Brothers.
I kind of want to say so.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, maybe I will have to watch it because I had a tough time trying to make it through the 79 Salem's Lot when I did try to watch it before.
Yeah. I honestly, and this might be a little blasphemous, prefer the Rob Lowe one.
Ooh. See, that's another one. That's another one of Tony's favorite films.
The Rob Lowe one?
No. The 79 Salem's Lot. He loves it.
Oh.
Loves it. Wow, you're really batting 1,000 today. You should be thrilled that he does not listen to this show.
Yeah, he also has shitty taste in cigars.
Oh, well, he'll be... I should call him up and tell him to come in here. Yeah, I think I got to do that, but...
I want to hear the new whore master, Michael J.'s take on The Shining 2, though. I gotta fucking hear this.
I wouldn't call it Dr. Sleep. I would call it, what the hell is it?
The Shining 2.
The Shining 2.
Still Shining.
Well, no, I was gonna call it The Rise of Jack Frost. Because instead of Jack Torrance, he's Jack Frost. And what it would be was it would open... in a winter land, well, you would see like a time lapse of the seasons change.
Okay.
And then you would see like the snow would begin to melt as spring would descend upon the Overlook Hotel. So then we go out to the maze and we see Jack Nicholson, like he's there and he's frozen. And then all of a sudden you see like the ice break away. And then all of a sudden like he's like, and then you see him and he's like, here's Johnny, or Johnny's back. And then he gets up and then he goes to the house. And there's a new family in there as a caretaker. And he stalks them and kills them down one by one with his axe.
Okay. Couple notes.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Nicholson will never fucking do that. So.
Yeah.
Make him like the woman in the tub now.
But why do you think he would never do that?
Well, A, he is really old. And B, he would tell you to suck his dick, he'd never fucking do that.
No, I think he would. I think at this point he's probably desperate for work because he needs his court seats at the Laker games. So
you get a younger actor and you make him look fucking hideous like that woman in the tub.
Yeah.
So you have a disturbing factor. And you obviously do not have a new family there because that's just stupid.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike. What you do is you either have the spring staff or the police and whatnot. I would say spring staff, you know, showing up a little early, trying to figure out what the hell went on.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's a really bad sequel. I mean, that's like a Season of the Witch kind of sequel, but hey.
Well, then how about we do this? How about we have Jack Nicholson play the woman in the tub, like get him naked and have him be in the tub because, you know, he's old enough to do that. It looks fucked up enough to do that, you know. You don't really need makeup because he is older.
Okay, that's just a horrifying thought.
And then you just get, he's going to have shriveled up old man balls anyway, so it's fine.
It's a horrifying thought.
Well, that makes the movie even more scary. And then you get Paul Rudd to play Jack Torrance then at that point. So you get him made up just like Nicholson in 1980. And that's what you do. And then Paulie up, here's Paulie, oh wait, cut. Here's Johnny. There we go. The Shining 2. Right. The return of the revenge of Jack Frost, because he's no longer Jack Torrance. He's now Jack Frost.
So here's the thing. Mike took a classic horror film.
Yes.
And put a really shitty spin on it.
Well, that's what Roger Corman would do.
Because he thinks it's funny. And yeah, that's you're right there.
Yeah. So I am like the Michael J. version of Roger Corman. That's exactly.
Allow me.
Okay.
To expand upon a franchise that wasn't even mentioned.
Karate.
Because. I could probably do that. But no. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do The Thing.
Well, that's really not a franchise.
Well, there's two films, which is more than The Shining has.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So here's the thing. We're going to do a modern-day sequel.
Right.
Now, this modern-day sequel takes place, guess where? Guess where, Mike? Can you guess?
Pennsylvania?
No, Antarctica.
No.
Because you're an idiot. So, the military has shown up since the events of the Kurt Russell one, the fucking prequel.
Yes.
Because that's not a bad thing. I actually enjoyed the prequel. It just, you know.
Well, you said the prequel goes into the Kurt Russell one anyway, so.
Oh, it does perfectly. So.
Yeah. So it's a trilogy.
What happens is the military shows up and they've discovered kind of what's going on, and it's all quarantine. Giant quarantine area.
Right.
However, a new officer has shown up on base modern day. And. He's pompous. He's an asshole. He doesn't care about that.
Right.
He thinks he's being wasted up there. And through his stupidity,
yes,
he breaks quarantine.
Oh boy.
So we have the Thing return. So it is now on the loose in this highly advanced military complex in Antarctica. And it's just kind of running rampant through that. And of course we play off from much the way John Carpenter's did the Paranoia. We isolate them.
Right.
You know, this highly advanced facility quickly gets, you know, shut down. No power. Everything just starts going to hell. People are dying left and right. We don't know who's human. We don't know who's the Thing. And just really ramp it up.
Right.
And I think the way you end it is...
How about you there just has to be a, blow up Antarctica?
Well, I'm getting there, actually. There has to be a kill switch. Because anyone building an isolation zone around something like that would think of that eventually. So they have a kill switch.
Right.
So it ends with our hero, whoever he or she may be, hitting a kill switch.
Paul Rudd.
So it's Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
And he sets off the nuke. Boom.
See, Bruce Campbell could be in it too, but he's like too old and ragged, so he, you know, dies. But Paul survives.
All right, and then...
There we go.
That's not the end, though. We get the credits, and then as soon as the Thing comes up, we get the classic Thing light coming through, the words, and then it starts to blur and clear and clear, and then suddenly we realize we're in the Arctic still. And we see a husky running away.
That would be at the end of this third film in the trilogy.
Yes.
Okay, wait a minute. Whoa. So, okay. Why do you have to give it reason to continue yet again? Why don't you just annihilate Antarctica?
Because I like that option. Is the dog the Thing? Is it not? Of course, with us showing it there at the end, we're heavily implicating that it is the Thing.
So you're trying to,
but that option is always there.
So you're trying to leave it open ended, like Carpenter did in '82.
Maybe.
Not maybe. That's exactly what you're doing.
Shut up, Mike.
Wow. You know, I thought you were better than that.
You're saying my film's worse than yours?
God, yes, because at least I use interesting plot devices. You're just recycling Carpenter's from 30-some years ago.
I am updating and... Fuck you.
You're recycling. You're updating and recycling. It's like you're taking it and putting it in the recycle bin on the curb just to be picked up and recycled and then released again and then recycled. Because you're always going to have that husky, or that bird, or that frog, or that fly. What's it going to be next time? A picture of your creatine drink? Maybe your creatine drink is the Thing. Maybe what you're drinking right now, as you're sitting next to me here, is the Thing. Or across from me, because I can fucking... I can see it going down your throat. Just think... Okay. That's the okay. Thing going down your throat right now.
So, let me try again. And I'm going to do Carpenter again, but I'm not going to do the Thing.
Yeah.
Because apparently Mike thinks I'm shitty at that.
Right, well let's see if you're any better with this. I have a feeling this is still going to be shitty, but let's see.
We're going to continue Escape. Alright.
Well, I get a better one. I get a better one when you're done with this one, but go ahead. Let's see this.
Okay. So, at first, just imagine the black screen and just the voice.
Yeah.
First, he escaped New York. And then, he escaped L.A.
And then, now, he escapes. Or, now, he escapes. Press play.
Now, this summer, he escapes Earth. Okay, so...
Oh, my God.
Stay with me. Stay with me.
All right, go ahead.
So, this was actually John Carpenter's idea. He wanted the third in the series to be Escape from Earth. No, now, there's not really any more plot details given than that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, at the end of Escape from L.A., he shuts down the world, right?
Right.
Right. Problem is that we still have the scientists and everyone that know how to build that ship.
Yeah.
So, nations and everything kind of has crumbled. Chaos has really started to ensue. Mm-hmm. New governments have arose, and power and all that has slowly been restored. It's not 100%. This is really bad. It's like after apocalypse levels.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And for his crimes, Snake Plissken is banished.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. So instead of simply executing him, the people from the old government in hiding send him to the moon.
Oh, no.
No. No, wait. Just wait.
One small step for man, one giant leap for Snake Plissken.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because they have a giant complex on the moon.
Oh, God. You and these complex shits. Yeesh.
Well, there has to be some kind of facility there. I mean, people just can't wander around like...
Yeah.
We're talking about hostile environments. That's why there's complexes there, right. You fucking idiot.
Yeah.
So it's an under the surface, mm-hmm. and Snake is sent there. Hey. His goal is actually to take down the rebel leaders.
Oh, now we're getting all Star Wars. Wow.
Except this time with Snake, we don't really have the ticking clock. Okay? We don't have the bomb in him. We don't have the disease. We don't have any of that.
Right.
And in this film, Snake actually chooses the rebellion.
Yeah, he's Star Warsing it up, people.
Fuck Star Wars.
He's got to go against the Sith Lord. Is that the problem?
No, the way it ends is we have Snake Plissken, mm-hmm. the rebel leader of the moon.
Oh, God. The rebel leader of the moon.
Right. So we end the film kind of Conan-like. Oh. You know how Conan was always sitting in his throne? Well, now we have Snake all relaxed in his big regal chair. Now the leader of the moon.
Oh. I don't know how long you and your girlfriend have been together, but the fact that I mean, wow, you're like
3 years today, actually. Thank you for asking.
Well, happy anniversary. When you get home, you'll have to tell her. But see, I used to think that you were, like, brilliant when it came to the writing game, but this is just off the charts. Just, I know I'm a whack job, but you're, like, you're, dare I say,
brilliant?
Should I call you John Wood?
You're telling me you wouldn't watch Escape Earth?
I would, if I was, I'm trying to think what company owns the rights to that now. I think MGM does. If I was an executive at MGM, I would be like, we are in financial straits already, and we usually go with, Sony to back our feature film endeavors. If I were to go to Sony with this, they would laugh me out of the room. That's exactly what they would do. It's exactly what they would do.
All right, Mike, you have a try. Go for it.
Whereas,
I want to hear your next pitch.
Whereas if I went to Sony's offices and I sat down and I said, you know, in 1983, Carpenter made a film that I loved. They would love this idea. And it's called Battered to the Bone, Christine 2. Back from the Crusher.
Back from the Crusher.
Yes. It opens in a junkyard. We see a cube of a car. That is Christine. And we see her regenerate herself. Basically unfold before our eyes and become a car once again. And then it flashes 34 years later. We see headlights. And we see a car driving down the road. Yeah. With the ghost of Arnie.
Just shut the door.
Driving to us. Or actually, yeah, Arnie's ghost is driving the car.
Cool.
And the ghost kills the people. Actually, he runs them down with the car.
And then You're just rehashing Christine.
Right, but she's back from the Crusher, so she's even battered to the bone. And okay. Arnie is her ghost driver this time. Because since Christine is technically a ghost, Arnie's spirit will power her.
So he's tied to the car now.
Yes.
Well, see, I would actually take a sequel to that film.
See, you like Back from the Crusher.
We just need, you know, a little bit more to that, a little bit more to the bones.
Well, there is. There's Arnie's there with her. So it's like they're now it's like when she gets people inside the car, you actually see them getting choked by Arnie or stabbed by Arnie.
Okay, so I'm actually going to help you with this one, and then we're gonna end this, and I'll actually divulge why we're discussing this.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so we're not going to make it present day.
Yeah.
We're going to set this 5 years later, so we'll say 1987.
Okay. 88, because it was 83, so 88.
Oh, it was 83, yes, I'm sorry. 88. So 88.
Yes.
All right, so our two survivors have gone on, graduated college, and they're actually still a couple trying to settle down. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what town that was. Small town USA.
Yeah, I don't remember the thing either. Yeah, small town USA. Okay, we'll call it that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And a couple of friends are going through the junkyard.
Yeah.
And they're trying to find parts. They're trying to restore... Oh, let's say a 1968 Dodge Charger.
Ah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Of course you'd pick that, but okay.
I actually believe that's what his friend drove.
Probably.
Blue one. Anyway. Might have been a 69. Can't remember. Either way. They run across the cube. Alright?
Okay.
Except it's not quite a cube anymore. It's straightened out a little bit. And there's a guy that's, you know, standing around trying to straighten out pieces, and he's got this red jacket on, and they're trying to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Arnie. And Arnie's talking about how he loves, you know, his 1958 Plymouth Fury and how he's going to restore it.
Right.
I think he's a little crazy, but the one kid's kind of sold as Arnie's telling him stories about his car, Christine, and how great it is.
Right.
And then a couple days later, they're driving by and they see a beat up 1958 Plymouth Fury.
Yes.
With a for sale sign on it. So they stop and they see Arnie again. And Arnie sells the one kid that was kind of interested in it the car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So wait, so Arnie then, didn't die in the first one is what you're saying?
No, Arnie's dead. Arnie is a ghost. Oh. Arnie's spirit is tied to Christine. Now this kid buys it.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And we're getting the scenes of, you know, the kid driving it and it's junky and it kind of breaks down and he doesn't know what to do. And his one friend hates it.
Yeah.
Just gets out and starts walking away. Fuck you and your piece of shit car, blah, blah, blah. And we just see Arnie kind of appear in the back seat. And freaks out the kid and Arnie just attacks him.
Yeah, that I like.
And then we pull back and the car's shaking. And we see that the kid set up. He's kind of pale.
Mm-hmm.
And he picks up the glasses from the back seat, puts them on, and kind of straightens his face out. Because the skin's not quite right.
This is the words I like.
He strokes the steering wheel saying, "I love you, Christine." Mm-hmm. And boom, the green light just comes on, flooding the interior.
Yes.
The car fires up, and he starts revving it, and it, you can hear the engine smoothing out.
Oh, God, I want this so bad.
And then he just punches it and peels off, and his friend's walking down the road, talking, listening to his Walkman, because, you know,
yeah,
totally bitching.
Right.
And we just see the lights come over the knoll, and he turns and looks, and we just hear the motor screaming as Christine comes over the knoll and just flattens it. Damn!
Damn. I like it.
And then we get the whole cat and mouse game of this kid taking out the people that wronged Arnie. The car comes and kills Arnie's parents.
Wow.
We have a nice car wreck with father on interstate where Christine runs him off the road, and then the car actually will go through his parents' house to kill his mother.
Yes.
And then the police investigator almost dies, but he manages to get away, and Christine and Arnie spirit believe they killed him.
Right.
And then they go after the survivors. So we end up with a scenario with the older survivors now being chased down once again by Arnie's spirit and Christine.
So Dennis and Lee would be in trouble.
Yes.
Yes. Please. Somebody from Sony listening, please.
So how's that, buddy?
Yeah, I want that.
Sounds pretty good, right?
Yeah, but I think that proves that I think that see, working together, we actually can formulate a damn good idea that goes from ludicrous to actually making sense.
And so,
something I want to see.
Here's the whole concept behind the reason that I wanted to talk about this, and Mike agreed. Yeah. Because there are plenty of films out there that had planned sequels or had the makings of franchises and stuff like that, that just for one reason or another, it didn't happen.
Right.
And what Mike and I have been discussing is in the future, no determined date, seeing if we can get one or two of these filmmakers to come into the store and discuss with us the future franchise that would have been.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
So we're going to leave you guys with that little tidbit, and I think we're done.
I think so.
All right, so with all that being said, later, fuckers.
Later, I got to get back to work, and you got to do something, because the store's open. So you finish your creatine drink and get the fuck out, I guess.
No. Okay. Well, you're closing tonight. Later.
Later.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it, want to change the world, there's nothing to it.
Hurry up, Violet!
This way, Grandpa!
There's no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be. Simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Want to change the world. There's nothing to it. There is no life I know to compare with your imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be.
It's alive!